Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the South Coast Varsity Podcast. Alongside Standard Time sports editor Lori Lose, I'm sports digital editor Brennan Currie. Thanks for joining me, Lori.
Oh, no problem.
So we got a very big game, very cool game to talk about here. This is a one-game preview podcast.
Yes.
Aponequit Lakers, the top-seeded and undefeated Lakers, are playing in the Division III South Finals against number 3 Burke. This is the Lakers' second trip to the section finals in just 3 years. Three of these guys played in that game 2 years ago against Bishop Stang.
Yep, they lost 58-50, I think it was.
Yep, as on the Spartans on their way to a state championship that year. And I think we've actually seen a couple times the South Finals sometimes is almost like a de facto state championship sometimes, it seems.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Tough competition coming out of the South.
Yeah, a lot of good basketball being played down here. So we're going to take a look at this game and some of our impressions from the Lakers. And I got to see Burke play against Bishop Stang on Tuesday. So Laura, I mean, just kind of right off the bat, what is the first thing that stand out about this Lakers team to you?
Well, I've seen both of their playoff games and rebounding. That's kind of been the key when they're rebounding and they're getting out into the open court. I mean, that's when they're at their best. I know in their first playoff win, which was against Dedham, they were actually down in that game in the fourth quarter, and it was because they weren't rebounding. They weren't boxing out. And then once they were able to box out and get those rebounds, you know, Adam Siebelum, he just like blew up.
You know, outraced everyone down the court.
Yeah, you know, and a few
he's great in transition.
Yeah, you know, and it was like so quick. You know, I mean, he gets out there and it just, you know, it's a layup, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're going back on, you know, on defense, and he scored 19 of his career high 33 points in that fourth quarter. You know, and they were down by 12 in the fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there.
I was following it on Twitter, and I was like, the Lakers. I was covering the old Rochester game, the previous round, and saw them get knocked out in the first round. I'm like, there's no way Aponequit can get knocked out in the first round too.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, it just seemed like Aponequit was completely out of sync. You know, they weren't shooting the ball well. You know, and rebounding, they really weren't rebounding. They had some foul trouble, and you know, whatever Jim Cabuccio said to them at halftime, you know, they came out in the third quarter, started to, you know, make a little bit of progress, and then that fourth quarter, it just seemed like there was a sense of urgency, like, we don't want this to end. We're going to do what we need to do to win this game. And they were down 52-51 with about 28 seconds left. Tim Johnson ended up diving on the ground for a loose ball. They called a quick timeout. They gave Aponequit possession. And then Siebelum scored the go-ahead layup to make it 53-52, 20 seconds left. Dedham comes back down. The kid hits a free throw, ties it back up. You know, it was a kind of a back and forth thing. And then, you know, Siebelum ended up getting another layup, and, you know, they ended up pulling it out, you know, but it was just like the last, you know, minute was unbelievable. Plus they were down 44-32 with 6:40 left in that fourth quarter. And, you know, really had to put their rally caps on. But I was sitting there at the game thinking to myself, they were just in this position like a week earlier against Bishop Stang. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were both at that game, and they were down twice in that game, double digits, you know, in the first half and in the second half. And both times they were able to make those runs and come back. And they got it done against Dedham. And then, you know, this past game on Monday against Norwell,
A little bit different story there. They led from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, they came out and they were determined to just, you know, put their foot on the pedal and just go. I think it was...
And this is the Norwell team that beat that old Rochester team in the first round in overtime. And then they beat, I forget who it was, the second round by 1 point.
Yep, I think it was Rockland.
Rockland.
And they ended up scoring eight of their 17 points in the first quarter came on fast breaks. So they were getting out there, and I mean, it just seemed like the rebounding was there. Clay Munier was huge in the post. They had no one on Norwell could really, you know, contain him.
And that's really, I think, the difference between the last couple of years of Aponequit teams and this year's team is having Clay in the middle there.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't had that 6'5". And not just, you know, a skinny, like he's a good size, strong, takes up space, 6'5", but he's also skilled. You know, he's not slow. He's got quick enough feet.
And he's coordinated. He seems like he can maneuver under the basket well enough to mm-hmm. get in position to get a rebound, or to kind of put himself in position where if, you know, Adam Siebelum, if he's driving and he's going to dish off, you know, he's kind of in that right spot to receive the pass. But what even impressed me, you know, besides Clay's rebounding was Andy Johnson. He ended up having 10 rebounds.
Yeah, we call him a guard, but, yeah. you know, he's really almost more of a forward. You know, he's like 6'2", probably, and, you know, yeah, he can rebound really well.
You know, and it seemed like he was getting a lot of the rebounds and, you know, and getting the ball out, you know, to Siebelum and to everybody else kind of in the
transition.
Yeah, into the transition. But Andy Johnson, like, you know, first game the hero was Adam Siebelum, and then, you know, scoring-wise, and then this past game it was Andy Johnson. He had a game-high 28 points, and, you know, he was lighting it up from three-point range. He ended up having, I think it was five three-pointers in that game, and just, you know.
And that's such a nice luxury to be able to, you know, if one kid's not having the best day, you have another kid who can step
but
up.
But Siebelum still reliant, had 18 points.
Which is what Bishop Stang has kind of run into a few times in that Aponquid game, and then against Burke as well, when Dame Perry, you know, when the team is able to slow down Dame Perry a little bit. You know, they obviously have a lot of really good other athletes, but they don't have that second, like, kind of guaranteed scorer.
Yes. Yeah. And
that second 20-point-per-game type guy.
And Aponquid, you know, after the game, talking to Jim Cabuccio, I pointed out, you know, like, this was a complete win. You know, it wasn't like they, you know, just put up a ton of points and the defense didn't play well. You know, I mean, they shot 56% from the field. They out-rebounded the Clippers 35-20, and then they held Norwell under 50 points. Mm. When you hold another, you know, another
Norwell's not that great offensively, but they have some shooters.
Yes.
And they kept the Phantom kid down. He only had 2 threes, I think, or something.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't
have
much.
He's a sophomore, and I saw him hit 6 against Stang last year in the playoffs, and he had, it was either 4 or 5 against Rochester.
Yeah, he had 2, and he finished with 12 points.
Yeah, so keeping him quiet, that's impressive.
Yeah, so, I mean, they just, it seemed like they did everything, not to say, like, perfectly, but I mean, they look good out there.
Yeah,
you know?
they play great team ball.
Yes.
They pass the ball really well. They run through their offense well. They flow well.
Yep.
They're unselfish. I mean, you know, one of the things I'm always so impressed with them is the little pocket passes inside. When a mm-hmm. kid, you know, breaks someone down at the dribble and is getting to the rim, they're not always trying to get the layup themselves. They're willing to dish it off. You know, when the defense suddenly all of a sudden gets on them, they'll dish it off to the open guy when they get double teamed, when they get close to the rim.
And I know Wyatt Pinto the last couple of games has really stepped up, you know, especially when Clay has gone to the bench and they need him to come in, and, you know, with his rebounding and also with the scoring, he had 8 points against Norwell, and I know he contributed a lot, you know, a lot of minutes in that Dedham game, especially in the second half.
He's a good pick and roll player.
Yeah.
You know, he can dive to the hoop, or he can pick and pop.
Yep.
You know, if you need to. He sets good screens. Yeah.
Yeah. And Shaheem Zahir, I know he kind of doesn't get mentioned a lot, but his defense, you know, I mean, he's usually guarding the opposing team's best player.
He might be the most important player tomorrow.
Yeah. And the key for him is foul trouble, too. You know, because.
And for Munier
as
well.
Yeah. Both of those guys, you know, they don't want those two guys on the bench because, you know, that's a big focal point right there for the Lakers. So. Yeah, no, I mean, they, you know, after the Dedham game, I was kind of like, I don't know, you know, but the way they
restored
came out,
your faith against
Noah.
Yeah,
and really, you know, made a statement early, you know, and they're hungry. I mean, Burke
they got
is,
the team they want. This is, Burke beat them last year in the first round. Aponquid, great season, were co-champs of the SEC. They were coming off the South Sectional final appearance.
Yep.
You know, they had a quality squad. I don't think any of us were. They were a 4 seed.
Yep.
They were going up against 13 Burke. I don't think any of us were expecting a Burke win.
No.
And then all of a sudden we're getting the score reports. And 58-57. Aponquid was up by 4 with a minute to go and just couldn't close it out. They're also up by, I think, it was 11 in the first quarter. And that was one of the things that the Aponquid players, so I went up to Aponquid practice today, Thursday, and a lot of players were talking about, like, kind of how persistent Burke was and how they just never went away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could take a lead on them, but they didn't change how they were playing.
Yep.
They didn't get discouraged, and they just kind of kept coming at you
mm-hmm.
over and over again. And this team, Burke team's a little bit different, but it's got 4 out of their top 6 players are coming back from last year,
yep.
Which is basically, you know, Aponquid's bringing back. I mean, Munier and Tim Johnson didn't play last year,
yep.
But the, you know, obviously Siebelum and Johnson and Pinto and Shaheem Zahir were he played a little bit less than those guys, but they all play in the game against Burke.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are guys who are familiar with each other. But Burke's interesting. So I saw him against Bishop Stang. Obviously, they got the win there, 67-64. Stang was in the lead for a lot of the game. Just went cold from deep late. But Burke's got a few couple things going for him. And the first thing is LeVar Williams. That's kind of any preview of Burke, I think, starts with him. One of the best shooters I've seen all season. Just a lightning quick release. If he sees an inch of daylight, he can get the shot up right away. Wow. And first half, he wasn't really hitting them. He was kind of clanging a couple off the back rim. But then in the second half, you could kind of feel it was almost like an NBA Jam moment. Like he's heating up and then he's on fire. Yep. And he scored 11 straight points in the fourth quarter to turn like a 4-point deficit into what would it be, a seven-point lead then.
Yep.
Three threes and then a two that I actually thought was a three when it was taken, and I guess he must have had a foot inside the line because it was a two. So it was basically 4 3-pointers.
Wow.
In a row, no one else scoring, either team in between, almost a personal 12-0 run, but it was 11-0 run. So he's certainly a guy. So that's I'm guessing we might see, I think we'll see a couple different defenses from the Lakers.
Yes, they'll switch
but up. I wouldn't be surprised if they either try to do some type of box in one, or when they're doing man, that Zaire is matched up on Williams and just kind of trying
big
to pester
Williams,
him.
Is he big, what's his
size? He's not too big. No, I'd say he's maybe 6'1 or so. No, he's not that big. He's like a shooting guard, shooting guard in size and ability. Didn't seem to do a whole lot of like getting the ball to the rim. He seemed like he was really kind of a shooter, not necessarily a spot shooter though. He was kind of a we could pull up too.
Okay.
So then beyond him, they did have a lightning quick point guard. His name's Devontae Jameson, and he was pretty quiet in the first half, but he scored it was like 10 points in like a 12-point stretch in the third quarter. Hit a couple of threes, and it sounded like from talking to like some of the other media that was there that. That was a pretty good game for him.
Yep.
You know, so if he catches fire, that's kind of like an element that's like an additional element for them
bonus.
That they're not counting on exactly. But then they did have a big guy, McCarthy, and I apologize, I may butcher this last name, Akinkunmi. Might be something like that. McCarthy,
I think that sounds about right, yeah.
So he had 16-8, and when I was talking to their coach, Sean Ryan, today, he was like, oh, yeah, he didn't have a very good game.
Okay.
So he did not play against the Ponequit last year. They had a different big man last year who scored a dozen against them.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that they have not faced before. And he was good. He had some skill around the rim. But they also played a lot of high post with him. Where
pick
he also pick and roll, and then a little bit of kind of him surveying from the high post and you know, hitting cutters on the baseline and stuff. So he's dangerous. And then they do have a couple. I don't know if they're brothers or cousins, but they're Jonah and Joshua St. Germain, who were back from last year, who were kind of athletes. They were pretty quiet against Stang. Most of the points came from Williams, who had 22 against Stang, Akinkunmi, who had 16, and Jameson had 13. So those were the three main scorers. But I do think there's a little bit of, like, some of these other guys might be more dangerous than it looked against the Spartans, just because they didn't need them at that point. These guys were the guys who had the hot hands. So that'd be, I guess, my little scouting report on Burke. They did also have a fairly burly power forward, who I'm blanking on his name here right now, but he was the one who hit the couple free throws late in the game. And Brian Deser. Desir, who that was another guy that so the two guys that Coach Ryan mentioned to me kind of didn't have great games in that one and could be better is McCarthy, Akinkunmi, and the Brian Desir, kind of the two big guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know if a little bit of that was with Sam Gold and Malik Morris kind of keeping them off their games a little bit, or you know they were just found that their three pointers were hitting, so they didn't need to go into the post as much. But
maybe combination of the two.
Yeah, it was a very even game with Stang. I think Stang went 0-for-15 on threes in the second half, and if they'd hit 3 or 4 of those, they probably could have won that game. But on the flip side, Coach Ryan of Burke all said he thought his team played an average game.
Yeah.
He didn't think they played one of their better games. So I said it was a pretty average game for them. I asked him about kind of having that playoff experience. Three of these Aponequit players played in the section finals before, the packed game at New Bedford High against Stang.
Oh, yeah, we were there.
Yeah, line out the door. People were getting turned away. So, they've played under these big lights. They played the Bishop Stang game at the end of the regular season and the Mitch Kaliga tournament. You know, they've played in front of some big crowds. And the Burke coach was like, we play in the Boston City League. You know, they have some really big non-conference opponents. And so he was like, our kids have played in a lot of big games. And he didn't seem too worried about their lack of really big game experience. Because even last year when they beat Aponequit in the first round, they then lost in the next round to Wareham.
Yeah, so they didn't go
too far, yeah.
No.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting. And actually, their coach was after the game was saying that he didn't think they'd ever won Burke's ever won a sectional title. So I wasn't sure about
it. And Aponequid hasn't either.
I wasn't sure about that, yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure that, because when they went against Bishop Stang, I think that was their first trip ever,
so this would be their second trip to the section finals.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, it should be, I mean, I think it's an even game. I mean, it's, in my mind, it's going to come down to who's shooting better. Like, who kind of hits their shots better, you know. If one team shoots 50% and the other team shoots 40%, that's going to be the team that wins.
All right, well, I'm going with the Lakers. I'm going to go 68-64.
68-64. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go Aponequid as well.
Oh, Brandon's couple going homers Aponequid, here. Huh?
I do. I think the team game will come through for them. You know, and I think when it gets down to it, I think Burke may end up trying to get the ball to one guy too much, as opposed to the Lakers will be able to spread it out. I also think it'll be a pretty close game. I'll go 64-61.
Okay. All right.
Lakers.
All right, I guess we're both looking forward to a trip to TD Garden on Tuesday with some munchkins.
And I don't even know if we gave all the information. So this game is Friday.
Yes.
It's at 5:30 p.m. at Taunton High School. Tickets are $7 for students and $10 for adults at the door. And 5:30 at Taunton High. Plenty of seating there. So
yeah.
It's a good-sized gym. And then plenty of room, too, if you want to stand around the sides and stuff like that. So the opposite of a Aponequid's gym.
Yeah, it's big basically. There. You have lots of space.
Like Lori was saying, the winner goes on to play the North champion. Which actually the semifinals aren't even done.
No, because of the weather.
Yeah, they're still playing the semifinals there. So the finals for that game will be on, for the North, will be on Saturday. And then the, basically what they used to call the Eastern Mass Championship, right?
Yeah, that'll be Tuesday.
Will be Tuesday at the Garden at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
And if they win, that would be what, 3 out of 4 years? We've had a team at the Garden.
Yeah. We've had a nice little streak here.
Yeah.
Teams having
success. Rochester and then Stang. And
all Division III.
Yeah.
So and we'll be on Twitter tomorrow.
Absolutely, SC Varsity, and then we'll be doing some Facebook updates, I'm sure too.
Yep,
and a little bit of Instagram. So we'll be giving you all the live highlights. We try to send out a lot of video highlights and stuff too throughout the game. And
then we'll have the newspaper the next day. Yeah,
a print edition of the paper on your doorstep Saturday morning with all the results. I'm sure we'll have a couple of good stories in there from that one. And online we'll have some video, some highlight videos, and as many interviews as we can get done after the game. So,
Anything else to add? No, that's it. Go
All
Lakers.
Right. Yeah, here we go. South Sectional Finals, Friday, 5:30.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.